Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back for hour two of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show here on this fine June 17th, 2007. We will be back next week with a brand new show. However, it will not be a live show, as Tim and I will be in Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with Jason and Grant and Steve from the TV show Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, John Zaffis, Adam Bly, Lloyd Auerbach. It is a paranormal power trip we're going to be on, Tim. It's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to it.
I think we should start a morning show by that name.
The paranormal power trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so. We are going to be out there meeting so many of you. We love doing these trips because the people and the family and the camaraderie we make at these camaraderie.
Suddenly, thank you, Barbara Walters.
Yeah. The camaraderie that we create is beautiful.
Very fabulous.
No, but the camaraderie, the family, the whole thing that goes on there is so fantastic. So we are looking forward to it. I hope you are too. But we will be pre-recording the show this week, so it will be brand new. So please tune in with us again next week, and we'll be talking to new guests. I think we're going to be talking to a lady by the name of Heidi, who has a book out about shadow people, and find out a little bit more about shadow people. I'm also working on a pet psychic. Not to have on the show. She's just really hot, and I've been working on her.
You know, put her on a leash and walk her around? What are you?
No, no. Oh. But tonight, we have a good friend of the show. He's very supportive, has been helping us on MySpace for the last year and help half support our show and support us and just check in. And Pete has always made himself available. And tonight, we took him up on it and asked him to be a part of our show. Pete Haviland is with Lone Star Spirits. He's a lead investigator. He's a president. And he's also an advanced certified clinical hypnotist. He's had success with clients in haunting cases and removing fears, anxieties, and psychological triggers, which is interesting because I want to talk to him about that. If he's blocking their ability to sense these things, or are they still there? He is also a forensic hypnotist. Does that mean he can hypnotize dead people?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Very cool. We'll find out more about forensic hypnosis. And he consults on police cases as well as private casework. He's a co-founding member of the Paranormal Research Organization with Lloyd Auerbach and is an investigator with the Office of Paranormal Investigations, American Ghost Society area representative for Northwest Texas. He's an amateur parapsychologist and ParaHub radio co-host. Lone Star Spirits is one of Texas' oldest paranormal teams. They formed back in 1997 and gained a web presence starting in 1998. Their work has been documented in books, magazines, local and national TV shows, local and national internet radio interviews, and I think written on every bathroom stall between here and Amarillo.
Ah!
Am I right, Pete?
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent. Pretty much. Good. For a good time at Ghost Hunting Call, Pete Haviland at...
That would explain the phone calls that I get at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, baby. I got ectoplasm. So your website, people want to check out your website. It's lonestarspirits.org.
Correct.
Again, that's lonestarspirits.org. They can seek help from you there if you're in Texas and you're having paranormal problems. They can give you a call, or if they just want to talk and get some ideas, or check out the research that you've done on your website as well, correct?
Yeah, and we're in the process of right now updating the website that we have currently to bring in some more of the of stuff that we've been working on, and we're going to also probably be putting up some more stories and different EVPs and videos and such. So yeah, just stay tuned on it. It's going to be pretty cool.
Awesome. Now let me talk to you about some of the stuff that you do. Now it says that you're an advanced certified clinical hypnotist and that you've had success with clients in haunting cases and removing mm-hmm. their fears, anxieties, and the psychological triggers. Now, psychological triggers actually that have caused either possible poltergeist activity or hypersensitivity. Now, does that in a sense, are what you're doing just turning off their sensitivity to it, but the haunting is still going on, but now people are just kind of walking blindly like so many of us do that don't notice other paranormal activity?
No, actually what I'm doing is when I sit down and I discuss with them what's going on and look at prior, look at prior houses that they had been in, I try to narrow down to when the phenomena started. Like, for instance, if they had no phenomena up until coming up to the current house, and maybe they went through a divorce, and maybe a bad divorce, and they're living on their own, you know, that could possibly be maybe fear living by yourself or whatever the case might be. So then I would go in there, and we would start off with that, you know, the fear of living by yourself. And I would remove all of those fears, and then I would replace it with a positive energy and a relaxation mode, per se. And then sometimes that itself will stop the haunting. And what I found out is that poltergeist activity is a lot of times can be stress related. It's not necessarily dealing with a child that's in puberty, but it's also dealing with anybody really that tends to not relieve stress, and the mind will relieve stress somehow. Whether it's nervous tics, sweating, or whatever, we can also create psychokinetic energy, and that will make things move. That will sometimes project things as far as seeing things, smells, whatever. It's still energy being projected by us. And so once I have removed that and I have reinstalled a positive thinking of what was there, I've had hauntings stop. And it's been pretty cool. If that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely. That's part of what interests me with this whole parapsychology is the psychology part of it, the mental acuteness and awareness to a lot of the issues. Now, can you, I can't give up my home. We can't get rid of the ghost. Can you hypnotize me to just not notice it anymore?
Well, I can hypnotize you to do anything that you want to do. I can't, I can't hypnotize you and do something that you wouldn't normally do in the light of day with people that you know, or even if you don't know. I can hypnotize you however you want to have that done. To ignore the phenomena, if you have fear of the phenomena, maybe place something in there that will.
Wouldn't that be an interesting experiment to block somebody's ability to sense it anymore? And then if the ghost is really pissed and trying to get your attention, wouldn't you think that would, like, get them making bigger things happen?
Well, yeah, when I go in there and I use hypnotism for, that is only one aspect of going in and trying to help the client with the haunting. I mean, if they're pissed off and they're moving stuff around and we might even have a bigger issue than just, the client releasing PK.
Okay.
You might have something intelligent. I mean, it's real. When I start looking at a client and thinking of them maybe of causing a poltergeist activity or them being the agent of the poltergeist activity, I look at behavior. I look at I ask them to keep a log and during high. High times of different emotions to see what happens in the house, to see if there's a correlation. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the ways that I look at it first. Now, if the family unit is fairly normal, but then again, who can really say what normal is?
Right.
But if their family unit's normal through different courses of activity with the family, through different emotional aspects. that there's no activity, then there could be possibly something in there that's intelligent. Barring that, you know, you've already gone through the house and ruled out all of the natural causes.
Let me ask you something about poltergeist activity here.
Sure.
Pete, now, one thing I'm trying to understand, is a poltergeist really a ghost, or is it somebody's angst throwing off psychokinetic motion, or is it the angst and the anger feeding the spirits that are in the house, making them kind of react weirdly? Does it turn into like a crack for spirits? Is that why so much weird crap goes on during a poltergeist activity, do you think?
Sometimes. If you've got a ghost, if you have a legitimate ghost that's in the house, and that's not really a poltergeist, but by definition, it would be a poltergeist, meaning noisy ghost. I think it's what German.
Right.
But you know, by definition, yes, poltergeist. But by what we're calling poltergeist activity, as what you're saying, as far as, you know, having an agent or having something feeding into the agent to create PK, you know, that's happened too. You might have both of them going on, but that's why we try to keep a log to try to look at the correlations.
Because I wonder, you know, I mean, when you're tired, you've had a long day. It's 100 degrees outside. You've been mowing the lawn. You got to come in. You got to make dinner. You're dragging ass by the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's what most spirits are. They're just that low-level, weak entity. Now, all of a sudden, you get this angst-ridden teenage kid in the house who's hitting puberty, throwing PK everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you think if maybe just like a normal ghost, you would have just been okay, but it was sucking up so much of this crazy energy that the kids are throwing off that it actually kind of works like a drug for spirits, causing them to react so violently or strangely that they're, you know, flipping chairs or stacking them in insane ways?
Well, yeah, and that could be a possibility as well, and that would be something that you would have to study over a long period of time to find out exactly at what point is, you know, that the agent is giving off the energy, to what point, you know, you could document the intelligent spirit of grasping that energy to change, you know, to move things around.
Now, wouldn't that be a hell of a movie? You're going to have White Noise 3, the crack ghost, right? Ghosts are agitating humans, moving in with teenage kids so they can get all amped up on teenage hormones so that they're acting all psycho, and it's like a drug to the spirit world.
You get an EVP of, come on, man, just one hissy fit. Come on.
Come on, man, just get mad. Get mad once, man. Come on.
Your mom's totally a jerk. Come on, man. She's harshing your gig. We go, baby. Yeah, that's the hit.
Well, you know, when you do have manifestations going on in the house, they do have to pull energy from somewhere. So, I mean, they can pull energy from an agent. They can pull energy from electricity. Supposedly they can pull it from water as well. I haven't really come across that one so much, but it's been mostly electricity, electronics. Faulty, the bad wiring in the houses, power boxes, stuff like that. As well as people,
right?
It's what I've noticed a lot. So you know, as far as talking about poltergeists, or intelligent spirits or haunting, the intelligent haunting of a house, I could see how if you had an agent in the house that it could draw. Now, as far as it reacting to what the energy is being put off by the agent, and it reacting towards that, that I haven't seen that happen yet, but that doesn't mean it hasn't.
And PK, that stands for psychokinetic energy, right?
Psychokinetic energy.
That just means moving things with one's mind or with an unseen force.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
I just want to clear that up because we had a gentleman just ask what the hell PK meant. So it's the Pennsylvania version of Burger King. Is that it?
I love the PK broiler.
Yes, the big PK broiler. The paranormal whopper. All right. So now you've been involved in the paranormal for how long yourself? I know that the group started in 97. How long have you been personally a part of the paranormal field?
I've been in the group. I've been in investigations for a little over 20 years, and that's including the Lone Star time.
Okay.
I pretty much start. Well, I had experiences when I was very small. I found out here within the last 6 months. I used to have a imaginary playmate when I would play in my house, in our house in New York, And I was talking with my mom, and I don't know, for some reason, the topic came up. And I just remembered, you know, this little boy I used to play with, and we were talking, and I was just, and I could still describe, and I still described it to him, to her, and she kind of freaked out, because when I told her about him, she told me that that was the little boy that used to live in the house that died of, what the heck was it, pneumonia, like 6 months before they bought the house. And I didn't know that, sure. You know, and I'm just, you know, I'm just playing with my blocks and stuff, you know, and that, you know, like I said, I found that out, you know, way later on in life, but my first really big thing that really got me into paranormal investigations and studying and so forth, I was about 12 years old and saw my grandfather walk down the stairs while I was watching monster movies one night. my dog turned around and alerted, and everything got kind of cold, and her hair stood up on end, and I saw him just walk down. He looked just as solid as I would look to see at anybody, but he'd passed the year before. And he walked downstairs and walked into the closet, and, you know, I kind of sat there, and the dog kind of sat there, and she started shaking. I'm like, well, I'm trying to think, well, why in the hell did Grandpa walk into the closet? You know, I don't ever remember seeing him go in there before. You know, and he didn't, you know, and he never scared me during life. You know, he only loved me, so, you know, and during death, I'm just, you know, I don't even know why I didn't really freak out. It just seemed like a natural thing to go up and try to find out if he was in the closet.
And, now, did it seem to be a residual type haunting then?
You know, I'm thinking it might have been. It might have been some type of a visitation or some sort, but I mean, I don't really recall if anything was really happening significant at the time when he showed up. You know, I missed him. You know, maybe I could have had something to do with it. I don't know. And at that point in time, you know, I just, you know, I wasn't even thinking of stuff like that.
Sure.
And you know, opened the door. I didn't know what I was gonna find. I knew I wasn't gonna find my grandfather, but I was figuring, well, what the heck is in the door? You know, inside.
Right.
And of course, he wasn't in there. But I did find...
had Grandpa ever been to that house and visited that house?
He had been only to our house twice before he passed.
Okay.
And my mom, you know, he's always been kind of worried about my mom because he hadn't really spent a whole lot of time with her when we moved from Maryland to Texas. So I don't know if it was something that had to do with just him just checking up. Because, you know, sometimes that happens. I don't know. I don't even, you know, nobody was injured in the house. So, I mean, it wasn't something like a visitation for that. I don't know why it happened. But I did see a bronze plaque that he brought back from Italy that hung in two of the houses that he built by hand in New York. So the only thing I could think of is that, you know, not so much that the plaque was haunted, but maybe because it was his. And I, you know, later on, I kind of thought of, well, it had his energy on it. And since we're talking about energy forms, maybe it was kind of a, you know, like a homing thing. I don't know.
Well, you know what's interesting? Now, Tim, I've been talking about this for, you know, over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't this sound to you kind of like my theory that maybe ghosts aren't ghosts? Maybe it's a maybe we are just dealing with time fluctuations, because, you know, if that bronze plaque was in the closet,
mm-hmm.
right, Grandpa knew it was in the closet, maybe Grandpa's the one that put it there, and that was, he went there to go get it in life the one time he was at your house, and it just so happened that piece of time happened to veil through at that moment. Because I don't know, I mean, Pete, what you do a lot of paranormal investigation. A lot of things that we consider to be residual are just like a glimpse through time.
Mm-hmm. And it very well could have been residual, because
right.
he didn't react to me at all. He just walked down the stairs and went to the closet.
Tim, well, I wanted to know, though, Tim, on your theory or on your thoughts with the paranormal, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the point I'm getting at, that maybe it's not so much spirits of dead people that we're seeing, but actual fragments of time You know, I mean, we've done a lot of damage to the world, you know, with nuclear testing and all these things. Do you think there could be a ripple effect going on?
Well, don't forget also, though, that, you know, we have so many different frequencies floating out there, from cell phones to wireless, you know, wireless this, wireless that. So, you know, there's a lot more frequencies that are floating around now that paranormal energy could grab onto, or even the frequencies maybe could be bringing it to us at this point.
I think as far as residual energy goes, I could see where that time travel thing would work.
Well, you know what's interesting?
How do you explain intelligent hauntings unless you're reaching across this time barrier?
That's the whole thing, is I don't know if there are really intelligent hauntings, and I'll explain that in a second, but something that Pete just mentioned, and you being an audio guy, Tim, maybe this will make sense to you. Maybe the reason we're seeing more now is, you know, when you're driving on the highway and it's a hot day and you see those waves coming off the highway,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, with all these cell phone transmissions, microwave transmissions,
radio frequencies,
your wireless internet, all this crap, maybe it's creating a movie screen, or you know what I'm saying, is it's creating something for these things to play on a lot easier now, because there's so much distortion in the air. Right, because you can. Where is it, Pete? I think it's in Vegas, right? One of the places actually shows a movie on a waterfall, because
I heard about that.
Right, the sheet of water creates a platform for you to for what's being beamed at it to be reflected. Maybe all of these waves, and you know more about sound waves than I do, Tim. But with sound and video and all these things being beamed around, could that be creating something, a matrix, if you will, for spirit activity or inter-time dimensional deals to be seen? It may be going on all the time, but there just happens to be that hot wave of vibration going on in that spot
right
at
place,
that moment.
Right time or right combination.
Maybe as far as like shielding on a recorder or shielding on a video camera if you pick up audio, something like that. A good example is like when we were at the Stanley this last time.
Right.
And they received a transmission in the concert hall from where we were in the billiards room.
Right.
Technically, the microphones that they were using in the billiards room only go 90 feet tops, and then they stop.
Right.
And another transmitter isn't capable of picking up another set of microphones on that transmitter. Well,
but if you have the same, frequency that microphone is, couldn't you have a bleed over?
No, these were isolated units.
Okay.
So they couldn't, you couldn't transmit to another set of these receivers.
Okay.
So they heard things going in and out. They heard these different phrases and things that I had heard in the room. And when I went to go review their tape, I said, "Yeah, this is everything that happened up in the billiards room," and except for it was just coming in bits and pieces. Now, as far as that goes, yeah, you can transmit voice and to different mechanisms, and someone could mistake that for something, you know, a disembodied spirit, a disembodied voice, and it could be very easy, especially if you're asking a certain question, you get a certain piece that appears on that recorder.
Yeah, well, on that aspect right there, you know, I have gone out to in Jefferson. I was working on a television pilot, and we were in one of the rooms that there was a lady of the evening that had died in there. And I had my tri-field meter with me, and we were asking questions. Well, I mean, the medium was asking questions, and I'm monitoring the room. And when she hit on key words like murder and death and stuff like that, I would get peaks on key words. Not all the time, but on key words. And I...
Right, but let's think about this, though, too, Pete. This is where I start questioning the belief that there really are ghosts, okay? Now, it was reacting, in your opinion, to the key words. However, those are also toggle words, right? Those are hot-button words mm-hmm. that if I mention the word murder, hooker, dead, your mind will stop and notice that a lot more. Couldn't it be the focus of all of us in the room paying attention at those particular moments that's causing the flux to happen, Pete?
Well, you know, there's always that possibility, but I mean, with the people that I have been working with, have been on my team for a little while. You know, we had given that thought when we were going around and doing that, and when we were asking those questions, their questions were given in a monotone. So it's not so much as that that there was any extra emphasis put on anything. We were trying to be as even as possible.
Well, sure, but you can be even, but it's like trying to beat a lie detector test, right? Because you always see the guy sitting there trying to be real calm. You know, did you murder her? No. But there's definite, they've proven, brain activity, sweat, skin, all kinds of things are taking place at that time. And when you're hearing key words that would perk any of our interest, like murder, death, hooker, that's where I'm having a hard time. The more I've become open to the paranormal, the less I'm believing so much in ghosts as I am believing in alternate realities and alternate time streams. Have you, Pete, during all of your investigations, this is a phenomenon I keep learning more and more about. Have you ever gotten an EVP that comes back in your voice and you know you didn't say that?
No,
or,
I haven't.
Or
I
in have. One of your team members' voices?
And no, I have not had that happen yet, but okay. I have had, you know, as far as voices coming back asking for specific team members. Now, you know, again, it's their first name, so it could be anybody. But it's a coincidence that it was an investigator in that room, or even the investigator asking the question.
Okay.
And I can play devil's advocate too, and then say, well, you know, if Ted Serios could project visions on Polaroid film in a closed box, you know, we could project our own EVP as well.
Right.
You know, so I mean, you know, that's. You know, you can look at it any way you want to.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest is Pete Haviland, and we'll be back with more and talk more about the paranormal right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730. Or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time, so join us by tuning in at www.darknessradio.com, or you can check out all of our archive shows by going to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab, and check out our archives there, or you can go to our friends at planetparanormal.com, where you can also check out Beyond Reality Radio with Jason and Grant. You can hear Spirit Talk with Chris Fleming, Ghostly Talk with the guys from the Ghostly Talk radio show. Great lineup. Tiffany Johnson's got her radio show over there too, Medium Tiffany Johnson. So check out planetparanormal.com, and you can download our archives there. Actually, sign up for the podcast so that you never miss an episode. It'll be directly emailed to you, let you know when all of our new shows are up. Back into tonight's show, our guest is Pete Haviland, and he is the lead investigator and president of Lone Star Spirits. And before we went to the break, we were talking about different theories about the paranormal. The reason I brought up the theory about the voices is a lot of different people I've talked to now have gotten EVPs which sound very similar to the voices of themselves or people in their group. And the thing I found interesting is, if we are, let's say Waverly Hills just happens to be sitting on the right spot, mm-hmm. that you can see between worlds, see between dimensions, mm-hmm. who's to say that Pete Haviland with his Lone Star Spirits in a slightly different reality isn't there doing an investigation that night as well, doing EVP work? And that's why you asked, is there anybody here? And you get back Pete's voice going, I think I hear somebody. Or, I hear a voice.
So are you talking like something like Bizarro World or something?
In a sense, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, but not even Bizarro World. I mean, if there are all of these alternate realities going on all at once, mm-hmm. who's to say that there's just not a thinner veil separating us at Waverly Hills or Eastern State Penitentiary or certain little nexus spots around the world, that at that point time is touching a lot closer there. Alternate realities are touching closer there. You know, there's been video footage of, you know, there's Pete and Dave, and we videotape up to the window and we see what looks to be one of us looking back down. So could it just be that we're seeing ourselves from a different reality or a different time doing the exact same thing, only from a different, you know, slightly different angle? That's why I've begun to question more and more what spirits are. I mean, let's face it, really, how often do you ever get a Class A that responds, and a Class A EVP being a very clear, concise EVP, that you say, what is your name? Bob. How did you die? Bullet to the head.
See, that's a lot of my concern as well. That, you know, I going around, you know, bouncing around to different sites and listening to EVP samples. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is just overprocessed. And what kind of gets me? And I mean, if you're really wanting to research something and really wanting to try to prove something, you know, if you get an EVP, especially if it's like a Class B or a Class C, you know. You don't hand it off to some guy and say, "Hey, it's you know, listen for Bob goes to the store." Well, you've already given somebody an audio cue, all right. So, you know, as the brain is that, you know, it's going to try to make something, you know, trying to make order out of chaos.
Right.
So, if it sounds close to Bob goes to the store, you're going to hear that.
Right.
And you know, so why not just to say, "Hey, look, what do you think of this?" Or poll a certain amount of people and come up with a percentage saying, well, a percent of people say, you know, 85% say that it says this, 15% say this, you know, and maybe do something like that. To me, that would be more scientific than just, than just listening to yourself and coming up with your own conclusion, unless it's like an A, that it's just very blatant.
Right, but most EVPs... I mean, how often do you come across an EVP that is a direct answer to the question that was asked? A lot of times it's, you and I are chatting like this, and in the background we hear, "Mommy, I want to go home," right? And it's like it doesn't fit in with what we're saying.
Yeah, it's like a residual playback or something.
Right. Or it's just a sound wave that just happened to be getting picked up by whatever recording unit you have. I mean, there are no recorders that are built to shield. What is it, FCC law, Tim? Most of these recorders, no, there are no recorders that shield cell phone and everything.
Yeah.
It's against law. Isn't that right, Tim, or do you know something different?
I don't know that it's against the law, but the FCC regulates different...
Right, but I thought with recording devices that they've... Because that's what was the big deal with Lou Gentile's EVP recorder, the Panasonic DDR-60.
The only thing the FCC oversees is public airwaves. So if you're using your particular recorder to intercept certain transmissions or airwaves that you don't have the copyright to, that's where they get the concern.
Okay. All right. I can't remember what the commission is. Is there something that keeps it from shield? You can't shield certain you can't shield recorders from all this stuff. There's some law. I can't remember what it was. I'll have to dig it out. I think our buddy Jason Hawes was telling me about it.
Well, I know that from the AAEVP, you have a lot, the American Association for Electronic Voice Phenomena.
Right.
Tom and Lisa Butler, I believe, have taken it over for us.
Right, yeah, we had them on the show a little bit ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have a lot of people that do exactly what you're talking about as far as communication, you know, like to maybe dead relatives, you know, or they have had spirit guides or people that they've met through... a constant communication. They've built up some type of a relationship. You know, I've never really done EVP that way, so I can't really tell you exactly, you know, exactly what I kind of exactly what I think of it. But you know, it seems like that there's some pretty good evidence of a two-way communication going on. You know, I don't know if that's because maybe you're thinking about it so hard that you might be creating it again, as you know, we were talking a little earlier. You know, a lot of times we do create our own phenomena. That's why, you know, I you know, when you have a whole bunch of when you have teams that everybody knows what's going on in a haunted area, including the medium, you know, you have a collective conscious working that, you know, you can pretty, if you want to, you can will what you're looking for. I mean, look at the Philip experiment.
Right. Right, and that's the experiment where they got together, am I right, and they willed a creature, a ghost, into existence?
Yeah, they made up a name. They made up what he looked like. They came up with a backstory. There was inconsistencies in the backstory, and they came there. They meditated on it. They got together, and that's all they did. And then they sat around the table, and they would ask it questions, and they would get knocks, once for yes, twice for no. And then the table also itself would move.
Hmm.
And this was done in a lab atmosphere.
Well, that's why I, you know, and it's things like that that lead me to believe that there isn't maybe activity. I mean, that's why, you know, so many people say ghosts don't know they're dead. Well, maybe that's because they're not dead. You know, we hear, oh, there is no time in the spirit world. They still think they're in 1700. Well, maybe that's because it is 1700. It's just that part of time that's bleeding over into our time right now. Because, I mean, look at how many ghosts see us and take off running like a bat out of hell, right?
What, have you seen how some of these people look now?
Right, exactly. But seriously, you see something. How do we know that at Waverly Hills Sanitarium, that 1935, you know, Dr. Philip Wise was walking down the hall and all of a sudden he sees four or five people standing there with flashlights, and he kind of goes, holy crap, and dives into a room because he doesn't recognize the clothing, the look, the flashlights, anything. You know, it may not so much be a ghost of a dead person we're seeing. I mean, in linear time, I guess it is, because, you know, it's 1930s already happened and that guy's dead and buried, but it may just be more of a bleed over of time interacting with one another. Which is, I mean, you know, if you believe in the theory of time travel and you believe in the theory of space travel, they're folding time so that they can get from point A to point B, you know, in a way that's impossible any other way. So if this is true, then that must mean time and space are a lot closer than we think they are. And quantum physics is telling us that on an updated basis all the time, right? That it's all there and it's all laying on top of each other, touching in different areas.
Well, but how do you test
it? It's like a big paranormal orgy.
Yeah, there you go.
A porgy, as we like to call it.
Now, why is it that I can't find that stuff on my thermal?
You can. You just need to look a little harder.
Oh, stop it. Yeah. Well, that's why everybody goes to haunted brothels all the time with their thermal cameras.
Yeah, go find Caligula's main room.
Queen Ghost Geek says I'm hurting her head with my deep talk.
Deep
chat
thoughts
room.
By Dave.
That's
well,
right.
You know, but how could you? I mean, you know, as of right now, I mean, there's really not a way to prove what you're saying. I mean, I understand the theory and the concept, you know, and to a point it makes sense. But all
right,
we
but
have,
there's no way to prove the theory of ghosts either.
Well, all you can really do is measure the events around the event. I mean, you know, you've got your thermal imaging camera that, you know, that detects heat and cold. You've got, your temp.
Right, but now here's something to think about. Thermal imaging cameras, right?
Right.
Because to me, and I've talked to scientists about this because it's always baffled me, is how the hell can a thermal imaging camera look at my mirror's reflection and it have a heat signature to it? The mirror itself is ice cold. The mirror itself is lifeless, yet it sees my thermal. So does that mean then that it's we may not be seeing a ghost of something that's there, but a reflection of something that was there?
It works the same way as the sun bouncing off a mirror and hitting somebody in the face and you feeling residual heat.
Right, but a body doesn't put off enough heat. I mean, if you look and hold a thermal imaging camera on somebody and then move it to the mirror reflection, which could be across the room, the light patterns are almost identical. There's no way you're casting that much heat at that mirror.
Well, yeah, I mean, theoretically, if you do that, then you should have shades of a coldness to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a mirror is a cold, flat surface. So how is it reflecting the heat signature? And if it is reflecting the heat signature, then what you're picking up with thermal cameras may not, in fact, be a spirit, but the reflection of itself through time.
Well, you know, I honestly can't answer that. I haven't had that.
Well, then we're letting you go, Pete. Goodbye.
Oh.
We wanted answers, damn it. All right.
Oh, I guess appreciate we'll let you that. Oh, you're going to be now. Okay. All right. All right, Duckman. I understand.
That's right. That's Mr. Duckman to you. Well, no, that's what. Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate. These are really my theories. I just am curious because, you know, I have yet to experience a real intelligent haunt or even a residual for that effect. I mean, I've heard weird things. I've seen some weird stuff. I saw what could be my first apparition, but it was on a friend's webcam. You know, so I mean, that to me has so many connotations of what else it could be. You know, but then again, that might be its own signature of, you know, radio. I mean, everything is visual and different spectrums. I mean, we've learned that. That's why dogs are a little bit more acute to, or cats are, dogs and cats are more acute to paranormal activity because they see in a different light spectrum than we do.
Yeah, well, a cat will, I've noticed this and I've also got it on film. I've had cats actually follow orbs, and I know I don't want to get on a whole debate about orbs, but you know, but I did see a orb object that was floating across the room, and the cat was going after it. So whether the orb was paranormal or not, I noticed that, you know, the cat did, you know, the cat was reacting to it. But where I've seen dogs, they tend to get more defensive, where the cats get more offensive. I've noticed that.
Well, I noticed on The Sopranos 2 weeks ago that cat looking the picture of Christopher Maltz. Oh, I'm sorry, we're getting off topic. But you remember that? That was kind of funny.
Paulie wanted to kill that cat.
Yeah, I know that was. But that was an interesting little sideline. I mean, here's the fact: this cat's staring at the dead. You know, a photograph of a dead guy.
And he moved it, and he said the cat went over there and stared at the damn thing again.
But you know that I've read quite a bit about the paranormal and cats, and you know one of the theories I'd love to check, and I never have, is supposedly if you believe that you have a ghost in your home, if you can get your damn cat to sit still long enough and look in its eyes, if it's moving in the room, it's supposed to be reflected in their eyes. So I don't know if this is like the Mary Worth or Bloody Mary thing that you say in the mirror, and you know it's just a deal. But I've heard that the cat's lenses, because of the way that they're shaped, can pick up the spirits.
I think if you're looking deep into your cat's eyes, you probably need a date.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm real scared here, Dave. I mean, do you just kind of sit around the house and kind of have a couple of beers and stare at your cat?
No, I don't drink beers. That's the worst part. So I'm doing it sober.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. You don't drink beer.
That's right. I'm doing it completely sober. So that's even more worrisome. See, the real paranormal thing is getting your cat to actually sit still when you try to hold its head. Because, you know, most cats are flinging themselves in spirals.
I don't know if we should even go here, Dave.
Oh, Pete, come on. Don't leave me twisting in the wind, brother. But anyway, seriously, I mean, there's different things. I mean, animals do see in a different spectrum of light,
yes,
so they're
do.
Able to see what may be there. I don't know. I just, what is the most compelling piece of evidence that you feel that you have connected with life after death?
Well, you know, as far as, you know, talking about poltergeist activity, I have had poltergeist activity. I have witnessed it. I've actually been hit by a book. And this goes back to my pre-Lone Star days. I was in high school. I was 18. And at that point in time, you know, I was really wanting to kind of go out and experience some things, and I really didn't have the knowledge level that I have now. And, you know, I had heard that there was this house out by my house that that this older lady had poltergeist activity happening in, and you know, I had always read about, you know, the Edmondville case and so forth.
Right.
And I was figuring it would be cool to kind of go see. And I had introduced myself to her and told her what I was kind of doing. She was very kind enough to let me come in, and we became pretty good friends. I went over there pretty much two or three times a week, just kind of sitting around and trying to see what I could log down, and I found out one day that she told me she was getting ready to move, and you know, it kind of bothered both of us because we were becoming really good friends. And she made a killer chicken salad sandwich, by the way.
Well, that's always important.
Yes, that's always. Well, you have to have, you know, a ghost hunter has to have nourishment.
Yeah, see, again, from our last guest, in order to see things and be more apt, you have to eat right. So I believe in that.
Yeah, yeah. But so, you know, as we're sitting and we're talking about this, you know, I'm starting to hear like thuds and thumps upstairs in her where her library is. So I was like, oh, cool, maybe this is going to be it. So I went upstairs, and when I turned the corner to go into the library, I had a book hit me square in the forehead. I mean, came right at me. There was nobody in the room. The way her library was set up, it was just a square room. And she had bookshelves all along the walls, and she had a table kind of in the middle. So, I mean, there was nobody hiding, and the book came straight at me. And I found it kind of really funny, though, because, you know, she had just told me she was getting ready to move, and, you know, about, you know, the emotion of her leaving, and we were just becoming pretty good friends and so forth. And I was thinking maybe she was the agent. And you're never going to believe the title of the book, though.
What was that?
Gone with the Wind.
Oh, jeez.
No, I didn't say that to set up a corny joke, but that was true.
Ba-dum-pum. Hey, thanks, everybody. Pete will be back for the 10 o'clock show.
I'll be here all week.
That's right. But see, again, there's a difference, I think, between kinetic energy and actual paranormal activity, which can be judged. I mean, look at, you've got guys like Uri Geller. Right, who can bend spoons by looking at them.
Randy's been on his ass for years.
Well, right, but I mean, so many of these people can manipulate, and we've proven it, and, you know, can record and spirit photography and things like that. Mm-hmm. I do feel that we influence so much more of the things that are around us because of the energy that we create.
Well, we ourselves have an electromagnetic field around us, and, you know, anytime you've got a tri-field natural meter and you set it down, and you let it get comfortable in the room. Some people set it off more than others. So, you know, there is a magnetic field around us.
Right.
So, you know, there you go on that. So.
Well, we've got to take our last break here real quick. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Pete Haviland from Lone Star Spirits, and you can check out his website at lonestarspirits.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit supernaturalnews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and we are so thankful that you are. Our guest is Mr. Pete Haviland from Lone Star Spirits. And Pete, let's talk a little bit. We've got about 5 minutes left, and we've been talking a lot, and you've been a fun guy to chat with and bounce ideas off of. But let me ask you this. Tell us a little bit about Lone Star Spirits. What do you guys, what's one of the biggest cases you've ever worked on? What's the most impressive piece of evidence that you believe you've caught?
Well, you know, we mostly do residential hauntings. But I have done a lot of work over at the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells. I've gotten some really good footage out there, and I've seen really good footage on what looks like either energy masses manifesting or apparitions manifesting. I've got some of that on tape. I've actually seen physical phenomena happen with a medium that I brought out there one time. We were walking on one of the levels, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw what looked like a black shadow going into a room, and I pointed it to the medium. The medium was went in before me, and I was right after him. And he looked like he went up about two or three, I don't know, probably about maybe about 6 inches, and he got thrown against the wall, to the right wall, and then fell down. He didn't do anything. I didn't see him jerk or anything like that. As far as physicality, I've seen stuff like that. I've seen people get shirts tugged as I'm looking at it, looking at their shirts. Now, it could be, you know, it could be static electricity, and that's one thing that you know, we're starting to measure is electrostatic discharge, because a lot of people kind of get the feeling of, being touched. An electrostatic discharge, when it's manipulating your hairs on your arm, you kind of feel like you're being touched,
right.
especially on your head. You know, they call that a ghost handshake when you get touched on your head. So, you know, we're starting to measure that too. But the Baker had a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I've seen more stuff than I've caught on film, but the stuff I have caught on film has been pretty cool. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning one time when I heard what sounded like high heels of a woman going across the terrazzo floor in the lobby. Went outside. There was nobody around. Everybody was crashed out in the ballroom. And as I stood out there in the terrazzo on the terrazzo floor, I still heard these footsteps, and it sounded like it went right past me. And then I saw what looked like a blue ball gown going around a corner. And of course, I'm the guy that goes running after it. Most other people are warming up the car, but
right.
You know, I don't know what I was thinking when I was going to go see, but you know, I turned the corner, there was nothing there. But I would have taken something like that, and I would have said, well, you know, that was pretty cool, but you know, I don't know, I wasn't really too clear on what I saw. I've spoken to several people that have gone in there, and they've reported that dress. And those sounds as well. So, I mean, at least some people are seeing the same thing. Now, is it residual? Possibly, because they're seeing the same thing, but it's still being seen. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to what you were talking about, as far as, time, you know, being able to see, you know, an alternate universe or time being closer to you at that point, you know, that kind of makes sense to me, but until there's a way to be able to test for it, I mean, all we have really is, you know, the devices that we have that will test the atmosphere around an event.
Sure.
until there's something that we can actually look at, and, you know, look at the veil and measure whatever.
But look at the cyclical nature of time, and look at the times, you know, in the 1800s, they saw a lot to do with, like, the Romans, right? Mm-hmm. Now we seem to see a lot that has to do with the 1800s. What if time is not linear, if it is like they say in quantum physics, and it's, you know, the string theory, and it's touching at different points, this just could be the point in history when the 1800s are overlapping the 2000s so perfectly that that's why most of the hauntings we see, I mean, because, man, you've watched all the paranormal shows, how often do they ever say, yeah, and I saw them in period clothing of the 60s? No, it's, you know, they were wearing 1800s, the knickers, the bodice, the dress, the things like that.
Well, there, I mean, there's different cases all over the United States. It's different people do see different things.
Right, but for the most part, it seems to be a bigger time frame that's seen more often are the 1800s.
Well, I mean, no, not particularly. I don't remember exactly where this case was, but there was a gentleman that was excavating his basement, and he saw Roman soldiers, and he said that they looked kind of short. They looked like they were kind of hovering on the floor when they excavated. They found an old Roman road.
Right. Yeah, actually, I just heard while we were talking, somebody just popped that up on one of my
private messages. Yeah, and I can't remember if that was in the 60s or the 70s.
Right, and that the only parts that you were seeing were the parts of the Romans that were above what would have been the trenches that they were marching through.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So because that trench had been filled in and is no longer there.
Right.
Right.
So that's why sometimes when you're looking up, you might see legs floating in the air. Well, heck, there might have been a house or something that was standing there at one time, but maybe the ceiling was lower.
Right.
You know. People see different things all the time. I could see where you might be thinking of seeing more about the 1800s stuff, but look at England. I mean, England's built stack on stack on stack on stuff, and they're seeing everything.
That is true. You make a good point. Yeah, that's what the beauty of this field is. It's a lot of thought and a lot of energy that, you check in all the different theories. But, Pete, as you can hear by the music, our time has run out. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's been great talking to you. And people can check out your website at lonestarspirits.org, correct?
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, guys. I really did appreciate it.
Well, we'll have to have you back on when we got a little bit more time. And we want to thank all you for tuning into the show. Remember, we'll have a brand new show up for you next week. Although it won't be a live show, it will be brand new for you. This is Dave and Tim saying thanks, be safe, and have a very happy Father's Day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.